AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Welcome to Buckets in the 503. I'm your host, Nawan Thompson, and I'm here with my co-host, Curtis Williams.
I'm excited about this episode this week. We have Holden Christian's head coach, Eric Lislow, to talk about his coaching background, his different stops.
Yeah, great to be here, guys. You guys have done a lot. This has been a great addition to high school basketball in Portland, so well done. Appreciate you guys having me.
You know, you're known for your high energy, your player development, and ability to create buy-in for your guys and your players or whatnot, and building a winning culture at the place you've been. And you've had a long history of coaching basketball. Tell us a little bit about your history.
Yeah, I started while I was in college. Started at Reynolds High School, JV2, JV, varsity assistant. And that was back in late 90s, early 2000s. And then as I was going through school, that led to, you know, my first job with the Trailblazers. So as a senior in college, I was, you know, one of three PR guys, in the NBA on the Blazers. And that was just a unbelievable 7-8 year experience for me, and, learned a ton from a bunch of different coaches. And, you know, once my Blazer days ended, you know, I was able to kind of get back into coaching, Portland Christian, and then, you know, Gresham, and then back to PC, you know, the last 3 or 4 years here. So yeah, it's been, you know, an incredible 20-25 year run for me with a lot of basketball, and, you know, still enjoying it.
And did you have a moment when you realized early on that you wanted to be a coach and it's something that you really wanted to do?
Yeah, absolutely. When, you know, being with the Blazers and being around the team every day, you know, you're around the coaches, you're around, you know, the players, everything that's going on. So, you know, it's not really, you know, in the NBA, you're not necessarily paying attention to players 1 through 10, 11. It's what are those coaches doing with players, you know, 11 through 15. That's where you learn so much, because those are the guys that are developing every day and trying to get time, trying to stay in the league. And, man, I, you know, to watch those guys, whether it's, you know, Tim Gergerich or Dan Panaggio or Jimmy Lynam or just some of those guys that came through there, just legends. And to be able to learn from those guys, you know, yeah, I was in the PR world, you know, on that side of things, but man, it really motivated me to want to get back into coaching. And, you know, I was lucky enough once I got out of the NBA there to get a job with Portland Christian early on.
You're one of the coaches that are known for rebuilding programs. A lot of the jobs that you've taken in the past, the teams weren't that very good when you got there. What is one of the things you do when you first get hired to a new job?
Yeah, you know, I always have major respect for coaches who go in and grind and do that. You know, there's a lot that come into really good situations and, you know, you don't learn what that grind is about. But for me, it always starts with culture. You know, you have to come in. Usually in those rebuild situations, the culture is bad. There isn't a great culture. And so, you know, for us, it's always coming in and, you know, we look at the kids first, the people first. You know, we always tell them that, you look, character is the first thing that we're going to look at in you as a person. And are you coachable? You know, are you a good teammate? Do you create problems or do you solve problems? Are you good in the classroom? Are you good in the community? You pass that test, then I'll look at you as a basketball player, because that's how you establish the culture. That's how you know that guys are going to buy into, you know, what you want to do on the floor. But it's the stuff off the floor first that I always look at with kids. And, you know, look, when we took over at Gresham, when I say we, you know, Coach Cuddy, Ben Kittleson, you guys know Cuddy, he's been with me wherever I've gone. You know, we came into what everybody told us was basketball suicide. They said, you can't win at Gresham. You know, they over, and this is no joke, over a 100-year period in that school, they had only won two consecutive years, twice ever. I mean, it was just not a basketball culture at Gresham. And we came in there, and I'm not joking, we had five basketballs. We had no practice gear, no equipment. Our budget was $800 in the hole, and nobody was talking about Gresham basketball. It was the 0 for Gophers, 50-some conference game losing streak. And first thing we did was we had to establish the culture. And I'm not joking, we cut our top three players out of that program. We cut 30-some points out of that program. And there were just guys that were not buying into what we wanted to do. So it led to, a two-win season. But it was really interesting because you'd looked at the scores the year before we got there. And, you know, they had lost to Central and Clackamas by 80 and 90 points. I mean, you go back and look at these scores, and it's unbelievable. And that first year, we're losing games by 25, 26, 27. And the parents are just ecstatic. And they're like, this is great. I'm like, what's great? You know, we're getting our tails kicked. And they said, no, you don't understand. Like, this was 80 and 90 points last year. And so, took us a year or two. You know, the second year we won five games, but the culture was established and we're losing games by 7 and 8 points now. So you knew you were a player away, you know, a bunch of sophomores, you know, starting to buy in. And then that third year we broke through, you know, it was 15 wins. And Gresham hasn't missed the state tournament or the state playoffs since. You know, they've been there seven straight years. And again, it was, you know, they called it basketball suicide when we took that job there. So, you know, people don't really understand what it took to get Gresham where it was. You know, everybody saw the G on the sweatshirt and they always asked us, hey, are you guys from Grant? Nobody knew what Gresham was. And to see, you know, that, you know, program just stay consistent and be there seven straight years now. To see Corey come in, you know, who was on my staff, to see Cliff come in and keep that thing going. You know, I'm super proud of those guys. And, but, you know, again, it always comes back to that culture and that character. And that's how we did it at Gresham.
No, that's awesome. You know, we know how difficult it is to build a program from the bottom up and with players that are already there, right? With the inability to recruit guys at the high school level. So just building within, a lot of respect for you doing that. But what's one of the biggest lessons that you learned when you're trying to build culture, but then obviously you have to have a connection with the kids to make that culture happen? How do you connect that culture with the players?
Yeah, no question. The relationship building is so big, you know, as a coach. And again, the culture and the character piece takes care of a lot of that. You know, there's no question you're going to have some kids that fight it, and you know, you want what's best for them. You keep them around. You make sure that you're doing what you can to get them to the next level or whatever. But the relationship building, you have to get to know them as a person, and you can't just be coach player. And I think, you know, it's funny now, it makes me feel old now, but I got guys that invite me to weddings and they're having kids and all this stuff. And it's like, that's such a cool thing to where, you know, you've got this, you know, I've got like a text thread with literally every team I've had over the last, you know, 8, 9, 10 years. And we all kind of keep in touch our different ways, you know. So, you know, the relationship building is big. And then I'm always big into, I see guys that come in and it's just varsity, varsity, varsity. They don't know anything about freshman players. They don't know anything about their JV teams. I made it a point to make sure that I was at every single practice and I was there, I was present. Our kids knew, you know, who I was, who we were, and what our expectations were. And I think once they saw that, you know, you ask any of the coaches that have been with me, you know, on our staff, they'll tell you the same thing. Like, yeah, that's just an expectation. The head coach is there for everything, you know, whether it's a 4-hour night or whatever. But the kids understood that we cared, and that relationship building was a big part of it.
What are some things that you guys do as far as building relationships? Is it like stuff you work in the school, correct? So like just meeting with them at the school, is it team bonding activities, or what are some things you guys do?
Yeah, the you know, the off season is big there. So whether it be, you know, team camps, you know, we do a lot of team dinners. We take them to college games, college practices. You know, my wife and I, we've got a vacation place out in Washington. And so we would take the kids up there every year. And that, you know, we've got pictures on the wall of every team that's come up there, and the kids all remember that. And at Gresham, it was pretty cool because most of those kids had never been out of the city of Portland, you know, some of these kids. And so we would go do these trips and, you know, you're like, hey, bring a sleeping bag, bring this, bring that. And they're like, we don't have a sleeping bag, you know, bring a blanket, bring a pillow, whatever. So, I mean, just, you know, those kids being able to experience that and go up and do stuff and be around the team and see us at a different level, not as a coach, but just as a person who cares, it was huge. And that all went into the relationship building to build that trust, you know, between the player and the coach. So, you know, team camps, you know, we try and go to one every year, the retreats, the team dinners. And honestly, at our level at PC, we travel a lot. I mean, we're on bus rides, and you ask the kids, those are some of their favorite memories. You know, those hour and a half bus rides to some of the places that we go to, they love those things. That's what they remember.
Now, you've had some really talented players come through, especially when you were over at Gresham. But your teams always seem to have the same type of identity, whether it's at PC, Gresham, no matter where you're at. How do you build that consistency year after year?
Obviously, the culture is a big part of it, but you've got to have a philosophy, too, as a coach. I mean, you have to have a philosophy coming in, and you have to be adaptable. I mean, you know, I've had a 6'10 big on my team the last 2 years. So, yeah, we were going to build around him, you know, and adapting to what we have, you know, skill set wise or talent wise. But if, you know, and again, I think if you ask some of our guys, the efficiency at which we practice, the pace at which we practice, it's like a college level practice. You know, you go ask Corey, you guys may have Coach Blanks on here this week. Ask Daniel, who's been on my staff. They'll tell you the same thing. It's like, it's just a machine, the way that we run practice. And so I always ask my guys who end up playing in college, you know, right now I'm talking to two or three of them. I'm like, hey, were you ready? You know, tell me what you were not ready for when you showed up first day of practice. And they said, no, we were ready. It's the guys that are here that didn't play for us that are not ready. They're just wide-eyed right now because high school was too easy. They didn't get challenged. And they always tell me the same thing. It's just, it's faster and it's louder and everybody's stronger. And I said, yep. And those are three things that should happen when you get to that next level. So we do everything we can to make sure that practices are super efficient. They're super fast. We cover everything. And then preparation. You know, I always say, I'll tip my hat to any coaching staff that out-prepares us for a game. It doesn't matter who we play, what their record is. We're going to know everything that they do. We're going to know everything about them, and our guys are not going to be surprised. And so that shows up on the scouting reports that we provide our kids. That shows up in the film sessions where we're breaking everything down. And then that shows up in the walkthrough, you know, the day before a game, to where, you know, we have a stat every year that we keep track of, you know, how many special sets that we knew did we give up in games. You know, this last year, I think we gave up 5 buckets total on 120-some baseline out-of-bounds set. So it's us taking that stuff away. You're not going to get those special 6 to 8 points from us, you know, against us every game. You know, I think the best year we had was 2 years ago. I think we gave up 3 buckets the whole year on, like, sideline baseline because we scouted it. We took it away. You know, our guys knew what to expect. Kind of joke, in the state tournament this last year, we were literally calling out the offense of the team we played in the first round, Salem Academy. We knew everything that they were doing. And our guy said that, you know, they were shocked. The other team was shocked that we knew everything that was happening in that game. So preparation is huge. And I've seen coaches who don't take advantage of film and scouting, and they just throw the ball out and let them play. But those are things that we knew at Gresham we had to do because we were never, you know, we were never going to have the most talent in that conference, but we were going to be the most prepared, no question. And we were going to do everything we could to take away those special points to win some games, maybe that we shouldn't have.
Yeah, and I know your staff does a really good job of looking at the video and stuff. I've actually had a chance to coach with Cuddy one time, and, you know, we sat there like nerds, looking at a bunch of video and scouting it all out. Also, his son's kind of the same way. I do remember one time being at a tournament out in Phoenix and seeing Keelan over there looking at a team doing a walkthrough. And then he comes over and just draws it up for us. So we already knew what they're doing. So
yeah,
I definitely know your staff is all about that. So, and I can definitely appreciate that. But you're also known for player development, which is a big part of your coaching philosophy. What does your player development look like in that fast-paced practice that you have on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, for sure. You know, we take advantage of that off season for sure. And I have no issue bringing in coaches that know more than I do, you know, about whether it be skill development, player development. I think, you know, we have kind of our daily 20s, as we call them, where we just do fundamental stuff before practice starts, ball handling, shooting, form shooting, things like that. Things I don't want to necessarily take practice time for, but it's something our guys do every day. And that's our freshmen through varsity guys doing that every single day. So that covers a lot. And then it's, yeah, within what we call our daily 40s, the first 40 minutes of our practice, which is nonstop, we're covering so many things.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Ka'Chava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Ka'Chava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
In a short amount of time, it's so fast that, you know, again, I don't necessarily need to spend a whole lot of time on conditioning, because the first 40 minutes of our practice, we always tell our guys, hey, you just played a game and a couple overtimes, you know, and by the second, third, fourth week, I mean, we're in such good shape, you know, with what we do. And it's not like we do the same thing every day. We change it up and make sure that we're, you know, offering some variety, and we're checking off boxes of things that, you know, we know are going to come up, you know. And again, our guys just know that, you know, there's really not going to be anything that you see in a game that we haven't covered, or we haven't prepared for, or we haven't practiced for. And again, I would, you know, ask some of our coaches that have been with us, whether it's, you know, Hassan, whether it's Corey, whether it's Daniel, you know, Dom at Clark, you know, I mean, these guys will tell you the same thing. Like, it's just a machine that, you know, with what we do the first 40 minutes. And I can't sit here and say that that's something that I created. I mean, we all take from coaches. That's what we do, right? So, you know, Morgan Wooten, you can look at some of the stuff that they've done. You know, YouTube now is just incredible with the stuff that you can find on there, and you add different things in there that you like. And yeah, we always feel like that, you know, we evaluate our staff at the end of the year, every year, and say, did we get the most out of this kid? And if we didn't, that's something where we have to look in the mirror and, you know, we have to own that. And we track those things year round, just, you know, KPIs, as we all call them, key performance indicators, on where a kid starts and where a kid finishes. And, you know, our practice sessions take care of a lot of that for sure.
Do you stat your practices?
Yep.
As well?
Absolutely. Yep. We'll keep track of, you know, certain things, and we've got different KPIs that we offer. And again, you know, being in the NBA and seeing how they would do things in practice and what things they would track, you know, you learn a lot just by watching that. And I'm not even joking, being with, you know, the Portland Timbers for 13 plus years, key performance indicators are a big part of what they do there. And so I took a lot of what I learned even there, you know, and have tried to implement that not only into our practices, but it's definitely a part of our games. I mean, most college coaches have the bodies and the people to do that type of stuff. And we do it in high school. You'll see Cuddy on the bench tracking things every time. He's in my ear if somebody scored twice in a row on us playing a certain type of defense. We don't let it happen a third straight time. So those are things, again, where you're just, you know, our coaches are all on the same page. You know, I don't have guys sitting in certain chairs or whatever. It's I'm sitting in the middle, they're in my ear, and we're all working together doing the same thing. But they're definitely tracking things that, you know, we know that our guys are either doing or not doing.
One sign of a great coach is the coaches that he had on the staff that also became head coaches. I know you mentioned a couple of names already. Can you give us a list of, like, some of the guys who were on your staff before that are currently head coaches or either coaching at the college level?
Boy, there's quite a few. Coach Blanks at Nelson, you know, Danny's a great kid. And, man, he was motivated when we hired him. He had moved here, you know, and was looking for a job. We hired him. He was our freshman coach, and moved on to Aloha, where I know he learned a lot. That's a tough place right now to win. That's, you know, a real tough place to win. And he learned a lot, you know, that year there, and then going to Nelson. Cuddy, you know, Cuddy could be a head coach anywhere he wants. He's stayed with me. He likes that assistant role. He'd give him a hard time about that. Hassan, Cliff, Corey, You've got Jeremy Smith, Jay Lava over at Reynolds, Dom up at Clark. I've got, you know, some coaches, a coach in Hawaii, couple girls coaches. So yeah, we've got, you know, there's a tree that we've kind of created from Gresham, which is really cool to see. You know, I kind of joke that half the Mountain Conference came from our staff there, and they all run the same stuff. You know, they all come to me and complain when something doesn't work, and I don't mind being, you know, that guy that, you know, they can vent off of, and if they've got stuff they need, I'm always willing to give it to them. So I don't, at the 2A level, I don't see any of those guys. But it's fun getting together. And Curtis, you know, you've been around, you know, some of us when we get together, and it's fun. And we're always talking a little smack, and it's fun. It's good times.
Yeah, Blanks is definitely a comedy when it comes to those conversations.
Yes,
and you. Another question is that your last year at Gresham was the year before they went to the Child Center.
Yeah.
When you decided to go back to Portland Christian, how tough a decision was that, and what made you make that decision?
It was the toughest coaching decision I've ever had to make. We knew that group was built to go win a state championship or be right there. And we had Asaya coming into his senior year. We had, Nate Gilkey was, you know, basically sat out, you know, my last year there. He was this 6'7" unicorn that nobody knew of that, you know, we finally had a big to kind of protect things in the middle, and we had seen him in the summer, and he was playing really well in summer league. But it, you know, I had to make a decision. I, you know, my son at the same time at Portland Christian's playing in his summer league games, and I'm not there. I'm not watching him. And I finally just said, what am I doing? I mean, I can't, I'm not going to get this time back, you know, with my son. And so I'm sitting here looking at this team going, yep, this is the one we've built to go win at state. But am I going to do this and miss my kid plan? And so I, you know, I don't have any regrets. I made the family decision to go be with my son and watch him play and coach. And they had offered me the job. And so that was a really hard conversation with my Gresham guys to step away from that. But I made sure that, you know, with our AD and that staff that I said, you can't screw this thing up. I said, it's got to be Corey or Hassan that you bring in to do this thing, because you can't bring somebody new in and screw up what's going on here, because you guys are going to have an unbelievable year. To Corey's credit, he did an unbelievable job. Hassan, those guys, they had, I think, third or fourth that year. Fourth was it? Yeah, just unbelievable. And, you know, it was hard sitting in the stands at the Child Center watching that team, but I was so proud of them at the same time, because that was the group that we had built, you know, to go win big like that. So, you know, no regrets. If I had to do it again, I'd choose family in a heartbeat.
You've been a part of the Oregon high school basketball scene and just basketball in general for a long time. What are some changes you've seen in the game across the state over the last 5, 10, 15 years?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I give you guys credit because, Curtis, you do a really good job at putting, I think, Oregon basketball on the map, you know, just as far as giving kids opportunities and going places and getting coaches here to see kids, like, give you a ton of credit. And Nawan, I know we were joking, there's not a gym owner in Portland that hasn't seen you at the top of the gym filming. And I can't wait to see what the Southridge team does this year. You guys are loaded, you know, and bringing Ryder in, that's just going to be huge. But, you know, how has it changed? I mean, yeah, you're seeing kids move all over the place now. I think the transfer, I mean, I'm not going to say transfer portal, but the transfer situation is mirroring what you're seeing in college, you know? And I think, you know, my take on that is that, you know, there's a lot of kids that are in bad situations. And I think if they have an opportunity to put themselves in a better situation, I'm always for that. I don't have an issue with that, you know, especially if a kid has a future beyond high school basketball. I think it's got to be, you know, policed a little bit better. But, you know, those are probably the biggest changes I see. When I played, you know, I went to Reynolds and nobody was transferring. Nobody was doing that type of stuff. So it's definitely changed. But, you know, look, NBA guys going and playing with their buddies, super teams, and then now college with the portal. I mean, you know, it's fun. You know, it's going to funnel down to high school. You knew it was going to happen. So beyond that, I mean, the game itself, I mean, we've all seen it. You know, I mean, gone are the days of two post offenses and playing through bigs and you know, it's a game full of space. It's a game where you're training bigs to be guard-like type players, and that's fun. That's great basketball. You love watching that, and I think you're doing kids a service by doing that and not, you know, cementing them into a post role as a 6'4" guy, you know, where it doesn't translate to the next level. So beyond that, you know, it's just the game, the 3-point line, everything, the pace, you know, you love seeing that, you know, because kids are going to have to get ready if they want to play the next level.
It's good to see, you know, not pigeonholing kids into certain spots now, and everybody basically has to learn 1 through 5 to really be able to play at that next level. So with that, where do you think that Oregon hoop stacks up nationally? And what's going to take for this region to keep growing?
That's a great question. I think, and Curtis, you know more about this than I do. You guys do. But, you know, I think when you look at our state, I mean, how many Division I players do we get a year? I mean, are we counting on one hand, maybe? I mean, so that's where we're at. You know, our best players in the state right now, our best guards are what, you know, 6'5", 5'11". Like, so it's, you know, I don't think it's a talent thing. I think it's, you know, it's just depends on the player, and size is always going to matter in basketball. And I think, you know, I also think too, though, that when you look at some of our, you know, our coaches, the college coaches here in Oregon, like, are they going to invest in some of these Oregon kids? You know, are we seeing anybody from Oregon go to UP? You know, I mean, it's great to see Braden go to Portland State, and Carter gets his offer down at Oregon, and that's great. But, you know, I just think that, you know, how do we elevate Oregon basketball to get to that level? I don't know if I can't answer that question. It's tough. I mean, I think that, you know, you've got talented kids, but, you know, we're in a pocket here where, yeah, Seattle's got obviously a lot of talent, but they've got a lot more numbers than we do too. And it comes down to geography. It comes down to just population. We've seen that in youth sports forever, whether it's soccer, whether it's basketball, you know, places that have more kids are obviously going to have more talent and more opportunities. So, yeah, I can't really answer that question. I know there's a lot of really talented kids here in Oregon. And I think, again, I think you guys do a great job at creating showcase opportunities and taking them to places and giving them opportunities to be seen. But it's just going to depend on, you know, the kids each year. You know, it's going to depend on the metrics and the size and all that stuff on how many D1 or D2 players we have moving forward.
Portland Christian team, the last 2 years, you guys were runner-ups at state, right?
Yes.
To that level. Is there a thing that you would change over the last 2 years that you would have did differently in the championship games, or does the team just have more firepower?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think the first year, the moment was a little bit too big for us. You know, we had a talented team. We were, you know, we were 28-0 going into that game. And as a coach, honestly, I wish we would probably have lost a few games going into that, because we hadn't really faced adversity. And we got punched in the mouth pretty good in the state championship by a good Western Christian team. You know, to be fair, both of my point guards, you know, one was out with a broken foot. The other one, Keelan, was on one leg. You know, he had gotten hurt in the semifinals. So we're going into that game. We're talking that night as a staff, and we literally had no point guard. And we had to kind of shift our lineup around, and it kind of messed up our rhythm. They were the better team. No excuses. Last year, I thought we, moment wasn't too big. I thought we were primed to win it. We're up at halftime. We're one bad third quarter away from, you know, winning that thing. And we just came out flat in the third quarter, lid on the bucket. Our two top players struggled in that game. So is there anything I would have done differently? I don't know. I mean, you always look back as a coach, and I've challenged my staff and myself to get better, you know, and find out what we can do to get over the hump this year. I mean, look, we're 55-4 the last 2 years as a program. I don't think there's many teams in Oregon that can say they've won that many games. But at the same time, we haven't finished the last one. So we, you know, our coaches have met. We've done all sorts of things to try and figure out what it's going to take to get over the hump. And I like this team a lot. We're going to be a lot smaller, a lot quicker this year. So again, we're going to have to adapt to what we have. And I'm excited to see what we look like here in the next, you know, week and a half.
Who are some of your biggest challenges this year for people that aren't familiar with the 2A level? from stopping you guys from winning a state championship this year?
Yeah, you know, Western Christian, they've been there four straight years, so I think they're always going to be in that mix. I know they lost a lot of guys, but they're well coached. They're a well-oiled machine. They'll be fine. Regis, another Salem school. Oakland is kind of a bigger football type school down south that always does well. They come in, they're super physical. They've got the big kid. I'm sure Jed knows him well. A 6'9", 6'10" kid, Curtis. I think you know him too.
Jackson Clark.
Yeah. So he struggled in the tournament last year, but he'll be better this year for sure. He'll be the biggest, might be one of the biggest kids in the state. You know, I think we're going to be in that mix. I think Enterprise, they've got the big kid over there, big 6'9" kid. I think they'll be in the mix. So you know, 2A is different. You're spread out a little bit more. But yeah, at the end of the day, I think those are kind of your five that I know of. If somebody's going to sneak in there, I'm sure that I'm missing. But I feel good about our guys. But at the same time, we've lost a lot, and so did everybody else. So that's just, you gotta regroup and see what you got.
Every season's going to have like its challenges, right? And you went to the state championship game 2 years in a row. What's something that you try to give your players that sticks with them beyond basketball in a tough situation like that?
Yeah, you know, I will say, and look, we're being at a Christian school, we get to do things a little bit differently and talk about different things that you probably can at a public school. But I think at the end of the day, you know, I always want to make sure that we're, you know, creating, you know, young men with good character, and we're sending them off and getting them ready for life, you know. And so adversity is all part of that, you know, losing basketball games. You know, there's worse things, whether you're losing a job or you're losing a family member or something like that. You know, these are all things that you can fall back on. So I think, you know, for us, you know, we haven't really talked about it as much. You know, we know the adversity's there, and it's good, and it builds character and all that stuff. But, you know, when we go back to our culture that we talked about at the beginning, you know, again, we're trying to shape young men and get them ready for life. And if that's college basketball, great. If that's graduating and going to college, great. You know, we want good character kids that are ready, you know, when they step into the real world. So adversity is all part of that. You know, again, whether you're losing a job or you're losing a state championship game, I mean, it doesn't take away, you know, from the things that we've accomplished as a team. But yeah, we're trying to create good young men with good character and that are ready for the real world.
What keeps you motivated to keep coaching? You say you've been at this for about over two decades now. What keeps you motivated to keep going?
I'm a competitor. I mean, I love the competition. You know, whether it's 2A, whether it's 6A, it doesn't matter. You know, as long as they keep putting scoreboards up, the competition's there, and you know, I'm juiced. You know, I mean, we're going into, you know, a week before first practice here, tryouts, and we're all juiced. We're all ready to go, you know, for that grind. And hopefully it's a 4-month grind. We all know it's probably a 12-month grind usually, but the competition and then the opportunity just to work with good kids. You know, I think once you've created that culture, it's fun to be a part of it. I mean, it's a great job to go to. And everybody says, you know, go get a job that you really love doing, you know, and I love coaching. I left my job with the Timbers to go be the AD at Portland Christian, you know. I mean, I left the professional sport world to go do this, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. I don't miss that world, and don't miss the travel. I don't miss being away from my kids, you know, with all that stuff. And, you know, I'm having a blast doing what I'm doing. And, you know, again, you know, just the culture building, to see your teams turn the corner. You know, Curtis, you mentioned it, like to see Gresham, you know, from where they were to where they are now. PC, when we got there, they were 2-23. And then that first year we went 15-10. You know, we were in the state playoffs for first time in 15 plus years. So those things are great memories. You know, I always bring this up. The first year we made the postseason at Gresham was, you know, we swept Clackamas. It was the last game in the old Gresham gym, and the place was packed, and you had alumni there in tears, you know, after the game, because they had, you know, won. That was a team that beat us by 90 plus points 2 years earlier, and we had just swept them out of the playoffs and gotten to the postseason for the first time since, you know, probably before most of those kids were born. And so to see that gym shut down that way, to see the, you know, the fans storm the floor, one of the greatest memories. And those things keep becoming back as a coach. Those are just great things.
Oh, absolutely. I know Gresham's always been a tough place to play at, and you have to be ready to go. That crowd is always a little bit wild out there. So it's always fun to go play there. You've been in the game for, you know, over two decades. If you could give yourself or a younger coach advice getting into it, what advice would you give?
Yeah, I think coming in as a coach early on, you think you know what you're doing and you don't. And, you know, even being around NBA coaches like I was, as soon as you get in and you're the CEO of your program, there's all the other, you know, distractions around you, whether it's parents, whether it's ADs, whether it's gym time, uniforms, I mean, all that. So I always say, have a plan. You know, I would tell myself, if I could tell myself, you know, 20, 25 years ago, this is what you've got to be ready for, you know, have a better plan, you know, rely more on your coaches who might, you know a little bit more than you do, hire really good assistants. You don't know what you're doing yet, so learn as much as you can, but just be organized, have a plan, you know, again, make character a big part of your culture, you know, within your program. And that tends to take care of a lot of things, you know, as a coach, which makes it easier.
All right. Well, we're going to finish off with some quick rapid fire questions. First one, favorite drill to run in practice?
Oh, wow. I'd say 11-man break, continuous 3-on-2. Our kids love it. I love it. It's just fast.
Favorite gym that you've coached in?
Wow. That's a good one. I tell you, those Gresham-Barlow rivalries, those are pretty intense. You can't get a seat. So I'd say Barlow on a Friday night. That's pretty fun. Oh. Yeah.
Player you've coached who made you laugh the most?
Wow. Terrence Anderson. Elijah Munyon, he was a pretty good one too.
The coach you look up to or study the most?
You know, Brad Stevens was a guy I liked a lot. You know, Jay Wright at Villanova, when he was in, boy, his stuff was fantastic. So those two guys I've definitely pulled a lot from, for sure.
One word that describes your 25-26 team?
Fast.
And last question, top five players you've ever coached?
Asaya's got to be on that list. Asaya Pipa-White, Ethan Abrahamson. Ethan was a legit scorer. You could throw Elijah on that list. I mean, he was Elijah. His potential was off the charts. Yeah. I'm leaving guys out. I'm gonna get in trouble here.
Three's good. Three's fine.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you taking this time out of your busy Sunday to come and visit us here on the podcast. Always good to have you. Good to see you. You know, we're always rooting for you down there at PC, one of the good guys out there. So thanks for coming on the pod.
Appreciate it, guys. It's been fun.
Definitely appreciate you. Good luck this year.
Thanks, guys.
All right. And that'll do it for this week's episode on Buckets in the 503.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.